Well, all right, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, The Right Side Way. I don't know if you heard it, but buried in all the rhetoric and 24/7 news coverage about the election and everything else, there's actually a pretty important trial underway right now in New York. A trial that just began this week. A trial to determine whether or not a good Samaritan is a bad man. A guy named Daniel Penny, you've probably heard of him. You may remember he's a former Marine. He was on a New York subway when a violent, mentally disturbed homeless man began threatening passengers in his train car. The actual criminal, the one I'm talking about, was named Jordan Neely. He had over 40 arrests on his record. He was fresh out of the Rikers Island Detention Center for punching an old woman in the face for no reason and breaking her nose. He habitually got on the subway and harassed subway riders. And that fateful day in May of 2023, Daniel Penny and others heard him yelling that somebody on the train was going to die. Penny, the former Marine, he intervened. He took Neely down, along with the help of several others. And Penny held him in a chokehold until the police arrived, again with the help of other passengers. But Neely died. Penny's now on trial for manslaughter and criminally negligent homicide. Postmortem toxicology, though, indicates that Neely had strong narcotics in his system that may well have caused his death. We don't know. During that time frame, 27 people were murdered on the New York subways. It's been so bad that liberal Governor Kathy Hochul actually deployed the National Guard to New York subway stations. But yet the Soros-backed DA won't let go of the case. You know who it is? None other than Alvin Bragg. So the trial began this week. It's expected to last for over a month, maybe up to 6 weeks. A month? The Good Samaritan, the former Marine who saved lives and intervened with the help of others, not by himself, is on trial. The justice system has been turned on its head. But you may also recall the story from 2023 when two employees of a Lululemon store in Atlanta lost their jobs because they dared to report a robbery. First of all, I don't know what a Lululemon is. I hope those clothes are just for women because I may have to question the manhood of any man who wears something branded Lululemon. We'll hold off on that for right now. But here's the story as we know it. Two employees of a Lululemon store in Peachtree Corners were terminated. Why? Because they confronted two young thugs who were wearing hoodies and face masks. They were brazenly loading up their arms with merchandise and walking out the door with it in broad daylight. It was apparently, by the way, not the first time this had happened. We've all seen videos of criminals treating retail stores like a cheap buffet and loading up on what they want and walking out with impunity. And so what did these two women do? They simply yelled at them to stop. They videoed the thieves and the act, and they called 911, and they were terminated. They were terminated because apparently Lululemon has a zero-tolerance policy for intervention. That's intervention? Look, there was a time when zero tolerance was against the ones committing the crime, not the ones pointing out the crime. I mean, to be honest, there's still places in this country where no one would be allowed to walk out with a pack of bubblegum without facing some serious street justice, much less an armful of clothes. But in liberal bastions around this country, there's been a shift in the dynamic. A shift, disturbingly, toward victimizing the victims, polarizing the police, and mollycoddling the criminals. So, what is it about liberals that makes them averse to law enforcement? I don't know if you saw it, but Burlington, Vermont right now is having such buyer's remorse over the fact that they defunded police. In fact, their city council just said that they made a mistake and they are now desperate to find 20 new law enforcement officers to put on the streets. They need it because Burlington's overrun right now with drug use and homelessness. I'm sure, by the way, it's not all liberals, though. I don't know of any conservatives, though, that are adverse to law enforcement. Now that I think about it, the whole defund the police movement is rooted in the vast misconception or the outright lie that having fewer police officers on the beat means that our society will be more fair, equitable, less racist, whatever. That does sound liberal, doesn't it? But anyone who's been on the wrong side of a criminal act as a victim knows that if you don't have the means to actually enforce the laws with men and women who are called and trained and equipped to protect and defend, to form that thin blue line between order and disorder, that if we don't have the men and women in blue, then all we get is anarchy and grief and suffering. Criminals don't obey laws. That's the very essence of what it means to be a criminal. What stops bad guys from doing bad things is good guys willing to do good things. And that's not hyperbole. That's just common sense. Lululemon, they're a private entity. Knuckleheads run it, but it's still private. I can't change their policies. They just are. But what about, though, when government is abdicating its authority to pursue criminals? Look, one of the primary functions of governance is to provide security to its citizens, and that's not always happening these days. Perhaps a prime example of how to screw up a beautiful community is the city of Chicago, the Windy City, the city of the big shoulders, one of the greatest cities on the face of the earth. It's being run into the ground right now by liberal policies, which include an aversion to actual law enforcement. This past Memorial Day weekend, actually of 2023, was one of the deadliest on record in Chicago. By the Monday of that Memorial Day weekend, 11 people had been killed and 38 wounded in Chicago streets in one weekend. In Chicago, like many bastions of liberal governance, they're losing population as people are fleeing high taxes, corruption, poor schools, unsafe streets. Sounds a lot like Birmingham, Alabama, to be honest. So between Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker and Democrat Mayor Brandon Johnson, you would think that they would, I don't know, combine to form a plan, right? I would hope to hear that the plan would include things like additional law enforcement with arrest authority and the backing of the local force for assistance as needed. The ability to actually apply years of quality training and commitment to apprehend, arrest, and detain criminals that we give to our law enforcement so they can do the jobs on our streets. But the Chicago police force is severely depleted. So no, that's not the liberal way. So what did they do? Well, last year they were very proud to announce, with the help of the governor's office and the support of the police skeptical new mayor, they deployed 30 so-called peacekeepers into Chicago streets. People wearing yellow vests whose function was to provide so-called essential assistance in de-escalation, conflict resolution, and crisis support. Wow. 30 vest-wearing do-gooders in a city of 2.75 million. That ought to do it. So how'd that work out? Well, aside from the escalated deaths and injuries that I told you about a moment ago, those peacekeepers haven't panned out quite the way they would have hoped. In fact, one of them last year was arrested for robbing and beating a man while wearing his yellow peacekeeper vest. You can't make this stuff up. Townhall.com filed a report on this. They said a Chicago man wearing a neon yellow peacekeeper's vest helped a group of people to beat and rob a motorist in Little Village. What? The allegations came after city and state officials had lauded the use of peacekeepers as a tool they would deploy over Memorial Day weekend to tamp down violence. The guy's name was Oscar Montez. CPD surveillance officers, they reported that a group of people pulled a man out of the car and started beating him, one of whom was wearing a bright yellow vest. Oh yes, it was Montez, the peacekeeper. Montez, by the way, is actually on parole for a 2012 case in which he pleaded guilty to aggravated discharge of a firearm. Does that sound like a peacekeeper to you? Okay, I know he was one guy out of the 30, right? But let's be honest, he wasn't vetted, he wasn't trained, he wasn't trustworthy, he had no accountability, so what stock should we put in the other 29 so-called peacekeepers who likely went through the same lack of recruiting and vetting effort? See, the bottom line is this. Since the inception of this great nation, we have always had the ability to put good law enforcement officers on the streets of our cities and towns. It's an honorable and much-needed profession. People who are inclined to commit crimes, they are not likely to respond favorably to kind words or sensitivity training. People in yellow vests asking them to please be nice. They need to know that the true blue is able to back up their words with actions. And at Right Side Radio, we back the blue, the true blue, not some fake rendition of community action, the true blue. We have also always been a nation that was filled with good Samaritans. People who did not take kindly to others threatening their friends, co-workers, or associates. Who would not sit still and allow people to be accosted without stepping in. If we're going to be a strong nation, then we cannot punish the good and vilify the police. It doesn't work that way. That's a formula for anarchy. We need to back the blue, and we need to do the good. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.